In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We pray this gospel on the fifth week as it occurs annually, and we pray it twice more on Sundays. So this sermon must be very well known to each of you. But there are some things that I want to mention because it's very impactful, not just in my life, but it should also be in yours. What does it mean to be filled? Now, almost all of the fathers are in unity when they say that the five loaves and the two fish, the five loaves are in another gospel, described as being barley loaves. Barley was a particularly difficult grain to get to the kernel. You had to pull and pull the husk off, and it was very difficult. This is like the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament has great value. You can learn what you need to know about the coming of the Lord and about his incarnation. You can learn about what is going to take place if you look deeply into the Old Testament. There are people that read the narratives and they don't think that there's anything there rather than history. This took place and that took place and these other things, which were a consequence of bad decisions by people and, you know, just the historical nature of interpretation. We, as Coptic Orthodox, never do that. You see, yes, we believe in the relevance of history and we believe in the normal kinds of narrative that you get when you read any of the Old Testament literature, but we also see it symbolically. We see typologies, and a type and a symbol are not the same. They are confused in your mind, I know, you don't study philosophy, but there's a difference between a typology and a sign. There's also a difference between a symbol, a sign, and a typology. I'm not going to go into that because it's not part of our discussion, but I want you to understand that when we say kataptipos enti etrias, right, the archangels, you know, Mikael pepiwi, Gabriel pepima esnav, Raphael pepima sham, Michael is the first, Gabriel is the second, Raphael is the third, a symbol of the Trinity? No, it's not a symbol. It's a type. It's a type. It's a type. Again, I'm not going to go into the difference between those three words. But believe me, we live in a time now when people don't read a dictionary at all. And language morphs so quickly now that we don't make sense of the things that were really important to the expositors of Holy Scripture. But you can, if you have an eye, as Jesus many times said, if you have an eye to see or an ear to hear, great things will become apparent to you. But to those who read just on the surface, as the Lord said, to you it is given to know the meaning of the parables, but to them not. And why? Because they don't search. They don't have a hunger. But the fathers, they said, the five loaves are like the barley loaves. They are like the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, or the Torah. The two fish are like the teachings from the gifted and learned ones who were disciples of the Lord. Peter and Paul. So, if we look then at what the Lord was feeding them when he fed them the five loaves and the two fish, what was he feeding them? He was feeding them the living word of God insofar as they at that time could accept it. Now, you have to have preparation. Just There is no one here that can come or should dare to ever come to the altar unprepared. You must be prepared. If you are not, there are consequences that are so severe they don't need to go with me mentioning them. But surely no one takes the body and the blood of the Lord to himself without baptism and without confession. And you know, what is confession? We believe in one God, God the Father, the Fountainator, who created heaven. This is the first confession of the church. And then when you talk about your sins, you're talking about the ways in which you have deviated from those confessions that we say in the church every day. But the Lord is the living bread which came down from heaven. He describes himself as that in the 6th chapter of the book of John. He who eats my body and drinks my blood has life in them. And if you don't, you haven't any life. So we think about this now today. I'm asking you, when the multitudes were being fed, they were being fed with what? Now, some of them were being fed just like people who come to hear someone speak. So for some people, when a holy person speaks, it's just spiritual entertainment. They've turned it into the worst thing ever. They've trivialized it. They haven't taken it to their heart. But those who took and were filled, think about it. Many of them came into the wilderness to hear Jesus speak, having no food with them, having no water with them, having nothing. They came with only the expectation that they were going to have a part of them filled that hungered. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. And it's written here, after they sat them down in groups of 50, he blessed and broke, he gave to the disciples to set before the multitude, and all ate and were filled. Some were filled with just the assuagement of their curiosity. They'd been satisfied. You know, like when I took Latin when I was in high school, you know, vidi vinci vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. It's a narrative. This is what Julius Caesar is writing back. And the people came, and remember when St. Paul was with the Corinthians, right? And they said, we will hear more of you tomorrow, after he had spoken long and long. And remember what the Roman consulate said to Paul. He said, you have almost persuaded me. Almost, almost. What do you think was the problem? That Paul wasn't careful enough in his exposition? Do you think that he wasn't complete and comprehensive enough? Do you think that it wasn't an elegant speech? Or do you think that there was some barrier that was inside the consulate that prohibited it from coming in deeply? Who eats and who is filled? Today you are going to come and be invited to the altar and you're going to be eat, but are you going to be filled? Or is it just going to be something that you do habitually? I just do this. I do this because it brands me as being a person who's concerned about the things that are belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. You've eaten and you're filled. Filled according to your capacity. Now, I'll give you a ray of hope. There was a man who came from a distance. His parents had lived in a different country, and he was a member of the Coptic Orthodox Church, and he came to a priest, and the priest asked him and said, well, tell me about your prayer life, because the young man wanted to confess to him. And he said, well, you know, I get up in the morning and I say Our Father, and I say prayer of thanksgiving, and I say Psalm 50, and And then I asked the Lord to keep me this day and take care of the ones that I love. And I talk about my ambitions, and that's how I pray. And he said, well, I want you to start to use the Agbaya. The Agbaya, yeah, the Book of Hours. You know, I know about the Book of Hours. These three prayers are in the Book of Hours. Well, yeah, but there's a whole lot more. And so after a while, the young man, he had learned some of the other things. You know, he learned the creed, the introduction to the creed. He learned our version of the Magnificat. Hail thee, we ask thee, O Saint, full of glory, the ever-virgin, the Mother of God, the Mother of Christ. He learned the Trisagion. He learned Holy, 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 O Lord of Sabaoth. He learned, you know, many things. And he came back to his father, and his father was pleased. He said, I want you to just read with every hour, just three psalms. Read the first psalm, read the last psalm, and read a middle psalm, one that appeals to you. And the young man said, well, how long is this going to take? He's a practical young man. He had to get up to, you know, most people. When I was taking my grandson to preschool, we would get there early because my grandson liked to go to McDonald's and have an orange juice or a chocolate milk, and we did this a lot. And then we would sit in the parking lot of the school, and he would finish that. Sometimes we'd go to the playground and play volleyball. But there was a woman who came invariably with 90 seconds left before the bell rang. She shuffled her daughter out of the car, right? Like people who were in, you know, danger of being caught by the police or something. You know, get out of here because I got to take off, you know, I got to rob a bank or something. And there was a routine because, you know, you have to have your backpack, you have to have your lunch pail, you have to have the stuff that you take, you know. And one day the girl had forgotten her lunch. Now, there was a very high fence all around the school, and there was a little opening, you know, to get through just for the people. The woman, and by the way, you guys here, get your hands off here. Don't do that ever again in church. You can ask Joshua when he shows up, ask him about this. The woman whose daughter had gone on the other side, she didn't have time to get out of the car, walk through the gate, and hand the lunch to the kid. So he just threw it over. And we remember this till this very day, because like many people, you wait till the last second before you leave your house. And then you drive like a maniac to get where it is you're going. And so this kid wanted to know, well, how long is it going to take for me to say these prayers? And so he said, well, it takes about 15 minutes. 15 minutes, 15 minutes, okay, 15 minutes. Now, he didn't realize how fast this young man could say the prayers. This man had boiled the prayers down to 8 minutes because there were only three. But after time, something happened to him. As he began to make a habit out of praying in the morning and praying in the evening before he went to bed, he started to say, well, let me just add one prayer. You know, in the first hour prayer, there's 19 psalms, the rest have 12. He started to add prayers. And he went back to his father and he said, I'm saying six prayers now. And his father just smiled. Didn't say anything, just smiled. After a couple of years, he was praying all of the prayers. Every hour he would pray all 12 prayers. Now, why am I saying this to you? Because hunger, the hunger that you have now, the hunger that you have now is not like the physical hunger. You cannot be a glutton for spiritual things. There is a capacity within you to store spiritual things that you've never even accessed. Most of you, if you had to write down the number of prayers that you pray in a day, well, let's put it this way, you have more fingers on one hand. And that's sad. But if you start to do it with regularity, you will develop this appetite, and then pretty soon you can't stand to be without it. The people that traversed all this distance to hear the Lord, they came because there were reasons that compelled them. You know, when you are learning about the Lord as he was incarnate and walked the land, there was all kinds of antagonistic conversation about him. And many people said, well, why are you believing in this? Or, so what did he do? He made healings, healings that no one else could make. And so the healings were the things that gave them the faith to believe in the words. And when the healings had become sufficient, they didn't care about the healings any longer. They wanted just the word. So when the young men dropped their friend down into the midst where Jesus was preaching, after tearing away the roof tiles, Jesus just said, your sins are forgiven. He didn't heal him. He didn't need to heal him. The young man knew. The young man knew what he needed. The other people that were going, well, what is that? You know, we don't know if that's the truth. How can we tell? This is an interior thing. You can't see that. You know, did he turn from white to black or black to white? What manifestation took place? And Jesus said, oh, why do you reason so in your hearts? See, they didn't speak it. This was a sign that Jesus was truly God. He could tell what they were thinking. And he said, so that you will know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive the sins, I say unto you, young man, rise, take up your bed and walk. This is what's going to happen to you spiritually when you start to really pray. You've never really prayed as you are capable of praying. If you take the person in this diocese, in the whole diocese of Los Angeles, that prays the best, he will make the confession, I have only begun to pray. This is also a book by Archbishop or Metropolitan Anthony Bloom. It's called Beginning to Pray. The Archbishop or the Metropolitan is saying this. He's beginning to pray. Because do you know why? Do you know why? It's because there is so much capacity within us. So if most of you grew up speaking a language other than English, but for those of you who grew up speaking English, how many times were you taught English? Were you taught English in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade? And when you got to college, if you didn't pass a test, you had to take dumbbell English, you took it for an entire year. That was your language, your language. And they give it to you for 15 years? And then people major in the English language. They major in English, the language they speak. Who are they going to speak to? Most of the people are dumbbells. They have a little tiny vocabulary. Who's a person who has studied the English language well going to speak to? You have to bring yourself down like you're speaking to a child. Ah, but it's just the opposite in the spiritual life. You see, you will, after years and years and years and years of praying, think that I've just begun to pray. There's so much more inside me that I can open myself up to. And who am I speaking to? I'm speaking to the fountain. There's nothing that I can say that won't be understood. There's nothing that I can ask that won't be answered. There's nothing. That's what it means to eat and be filled. To eat and to be filled. And I hope that all of you this day eat and are filled. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, to the age of ages. Amen.